almost 12 now. In the years in between, it feels like he never left me or my mind, and I wonder if I was ever in his, for a moment at least, until he saw me again at the campaign kickoff. There is no need to speak. My knowledge of him is deeper now than when we started campaigning. And he knows me. He knows I'm afraid of heights, and yet I can't seem to keep from following him to high places. He knows I have a weakness for children and animals, and am as protective about my privacy as he was when his father was president, and he was thrust into the limelight. He knows maybe I bear this situation just because I want to be near him, and because he's right. I love my country, and I want to do whatever I can to make it a better place. If not for me, for the children and animals I love so much. 33. Gone. Charlotte. I rearranged his schedule so that he can take 3 days off. It's been known the Hamiltons have a huge mansion in Carmel, and I imagine him there, regrouping, sunbathing in the bath, maybe meeting up with his friends, clearing his head from everything. When I get a text early Monday, taking one more day off. You'll have to shuffle some more things around. M. I reply, count on it. I sigh and set my phone aside, worried. After the debate, Gordon and Jacobs have been attacking Matt relentlessly. We're getting closer to voting day, and he's lost 2 points in the last polls, courtesy of a relentless campaign against him from both parties. President Jacobs accuses him of being a philanderer with no family values, no wife. Gordon accuses him of being a playboy, listing dozens and dozens of women he's had affairs with, claiming his phobia of commitment is a measure of his inability to stick with one thing. If he can't commit to one woman, how can you expect him to commit to an entire country? Funny, this coming from a man who's had 4 wives. And in that list of women, of course, he mentions me. Charlotte Wells. How ridiculous it is for Matt to consider bringing an inexperienced 20-something-year-old to the White House. I wonder if Matt has seen everything, and what he thinks. I picture him saying, people will think what they want to think, and leaving it at that. But I can't feel the same. I feel a shudder of humiliation when I think of 2 things. Of what people believe. Of what my parents will be exposed to if Matt and I continue playing with fire. And of losing to 2 men who don't deserve the seat I believe my candidate deserves. My thoughts are racing dangerously as I open my computer and stream the news. Pictures of me and Matt running. Of Matt buying me shoes. Of Matt looking at me during campaign events. I keep waiting, dreading someone will have a picture of us kissing in New York. But it doesn't pop up. I keep watching, but it still doesn't appear. I can't take the guilt and the worry that it will, that it'll all get fucked up in 1 second. I shut the news tab, my throat tight as I open a new computer file. My fingers are trembling, but in my heart, beneath the pain, I know this is what I need to do. I head to Carlisle's office that evening. I take a seat and slide the paper across his desk. The letter is facing him, but he doesn't read it. His eyes are fixed on me. My resignation, I say quietly. He reads it over, his expression opaque. Then he lowers the paper and turns it around to face me.
Are you certain about this?
He sets a pen on the side so that I can make it official and sign it. I stare at it and my throat starts to close as I read my resignation letter. Matt had a lot of thinking to do, and I hadn't known that in his absence, so would I. I couldn't forgive myself if he lost the election because of me, I tell Carlisle.
I know Matt. I've known him since he was a teen, aiding us with his own father's campaign.
He presses his lips together.
He won't accept your resignation, he adds.
He has to. You need to make him see reason. Carlisle, we're so close to winning. We're talking about the difference he could make not for one person, for millions.
I know, damn it.
He sighs, jams his hands in his pockets, and looks at me.
But he wants what he wants. He wants you in the campaign. We all do.
He nods.
We'll field whatever comes our way. You won't be a scapegoat. Matt won't allow it. He's told me so himself.
I swallow. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about him.
That's my job, girl.
He stands and pats me on the shoulder.
Don't think just because Matt is a nice guy, he's not willing to get down and dirty with them if he needs to.
That's not what he stands for. That's not what he believes in. Carlyle leans back and eyes me narrowly.
I misjudged you, Charlotte.
He smiles at me and nods again as he finally accepts my resignation letter. Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. I've learned a lot these past months. I hesitate at the door but then return to give him a hug. Thank you for taking a chance on me, inexperience and all.
Well, you're only inexperienced once, and now you're no longer.
He smiles at me with the most fondness I've seen yet as he takes my letter from his desk and slips it onto the top of a pile in the right drawer.
We'll handle it discreetly, he says. Rhonda can be scheduler. We'll say you decided to continue working and making a difference at Women of the World.
Thank you, and don't worry about me talking to the media, I say as I head to the door, suddenly overwhelmed with grief. I pack my stuff only after everyone leaves the building, so there are no questions asked of me that I can't answer. I can't believe I'm quitting on him. I can't believe I won't be able to stay and see this through. Everything I wanted to do has now been reduced to the fact that I do better by quitting. I'm disappointed that I let my own selfish emotions get in the way. But I can't regret the time I spent with him. I head to Matt's desk and remove the pin that I always wear, the pin commemorating my favorite president, one I'm waiting for his son to replace. I set it on his desk and hope he knows it means. Well, that it means I'm leaving because I care. That night I do what my mother has been aching for me to do. I pack a bag and head over to sleep at my parents' place. When she comes into my room, there's a long silence between us.
Do you want to talk about it?
She asks softly. I shake my head. A tear slips down my cheek. I quickly wipe it away. I shrug and look out the window, holding back the other tears. She quietly comes over and embraces me in her warm arms.
You're doing what you need to do. Politics are not for the faint of heart, she reassures me.
I know that she knows I fell in love with him. She saw it coming and warned me from the start.
I know, I nod. I know, which is why I never really wanted to dive in until, well, until him. You did the right thing, she squeezes my shoulder. So many careers around politics have been ruined by scandal, and
I need your help. Please.
What do I do? I just don't. I don't want to be in love with him forever. Nothing, Charlotte. You go on as if nothing happened. On Monday, you go back to Women of the World. You smile, you think of others, you forget about this, you forget about him. Did you two?
I can't speak it out loud. How powerless I was during moments when all I wanted was Matt's arms around me and nothing else. During one of our more comfortable talks during all these months of campaigning, Matt once told me a lie marks you forever with the public. You cannot lie, not ever. Twist the truths, maybe, play around with words, but a lie, never. I left so he wouldn't have to lie about me. When my mother leaves, I take an extra long bath in my old bathroom. Then I climb into my warmest pajamas and get into bed, the same bed where I first fantasized about Matthew Hamilton. I'm so confused. I feel heavy, as if the world's hate is already on my shoulders. Here, kitty, I call to my cat. Doodles is a ball of white fur curled up on the windowsill. She doesn't move from her spot. What? Are you going to give me the silent treatment because I was away for so long? Oh, come on, Doodles, I need a hug right now. No response. I hug my pillow and eventually feel my cat join me in the bed in the middle of the night when I'm still awake, staring out that same window. Mother thought it best I waited out a week before returning to work, just in case any press comes knocking on our office doors. She wants to protect me from that, and I want to protect Matt from that, so I agree. That night, we're having dinner, my father, my mother, and me.
I think you should move back in with us for a while, until all this settles down.
There's no dust to settle. I shake my head firmly at my mom. I'll go back to my place tomorrow. By the time we reach dessert, I check the time again.
Is there somewhere you need to be, Charlotte?
My father asks. He sounds terribly exasperated. Not me, Matt, I absently answer as I head over to the television in the living room. There's this speaking engagement tonight. I'm sure it'll be televised. I grab the remote on top of the TV and skim through the channels. Carlyle appears on screen, standing there instead of Matt.
Apologies, friends and supporters. Tonight, Matt needed to cancel. I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
He canceled? I'm shocked. He never cancels. Even when he had a headache, he just popped the Advils I'd set on his desk. I drop the remote and watch as Carlyle begins to answer questions. What if something's wrong? I want to call Carlyle, but he's clearly busy. If I called Hessler, would he tell me? What about Mark or Allison? Would either of them know? I grab my phone and quickly skim my contacts, my hand shaking.
Come and have tea with us, Charlotte, my mother calls.
The doorbell rings and my mother turns.
Jessa, darling, can you see who's at the door?
Jessa rushes from the kitchen to the front door, passing the dining and living rooms as she does. Then she comes back to where we sit.
It's Mr. Matt, miss.
My mother's teacup clatters. My father raises his head, and I don't think I'm breathing.
Well, don't stand there. Show him in, my mother urges.
I'm in the middle of the living room while my parents sit frozen at opposite ends of the dining table when Matt appears. I don't think I'm breathing when I see him. I just didn't expect to see him anytime soon. And suddenly it just hurts. My eyes hurt. My chest hurts. All of me hurts. I feel as if something is squeezing around my heart, and it takes my every conscious effort to keep my parents from noticing. Matt is wearing a black sweater and black pants, his hair wet from the rain outside, and he's never looked so hot, so sexy, so in control. His eyes meet mine, and after a brief, crackling stare, he slides them over to my parents.
Senator Wells, he says. My father's chair screeches as he stands.
A pleasure to have you in our home, Matt.
He greets my mother, and she embraces him fondly.
You're just in time for tea or coffee, she says. Would you like some?
Thanks. I'm actually here for Charlotte.
His eyes are hooded mysteriously to the point where I can't read what he's thinking.
That's what we assumed, my father says with a nod. Thank you, Matt, for the opportunity you gave her, campaigning for you. We've never seen her dive into anything with so much passion.
It's her I came to thank for her support, Matt says.
His eyes slide in my direction and he drinks me up as if the mere sight of me provides a shot of vitamins to his soul. I blush crimson at the thought as my parents' footsteps trail up the stairs. I drop down on the couch and Matt takes a seat across from me. My parents' house seems smaller with him inside, as small as it felt when his father and the Secret Service were here, except now it's just him. Matt. Doodles is swishing her tail, eyeing us.
What's her name?
Matt stretches out his hand, palm up, and Doodles goes to him, just like that.
Doodles.
He lifts his brow and smiles, scoops her up, and sets her on his lap. I feel nearly devastated by the want to go replace Doodles on his lap and kiss him, but the noise coming from the upstairs bedroom reminds me of where we are, of my parents in the house. And suddenly I miss Jack as much as I miss Matt and his touch. I miss touching him when I can't touch Matt, curling my hand into the fur of his head and feeling his big old dog weight on my lap. So trusting, like there's nothing I could ever do wrong in his eyes. Apparently he shares that with his master. Oh God. Matt, why is he looking at me like that? Why is he here?
You shouldn't be here, I say breathlessly. You know you shouldn't be here.
But I am.
He sets Doodles at his feet and leans forward, a gleam of determination in his eyes. I have to battle for restraint to keep from heading straight to him and saying...
Saying what?
How did the thinking go? I ask in a quiet voice. I don't want my parents to hear us. I don't want anyone to hear us. It seems that my times with Matt are always stolen, and very few of those times do I have him alone like this. I treasure our times alone.
I went to see my father.
There's a trace of sadness in his eyes.
I always pay him a visit at Arlington National Cemetery when I need to feel grounded.
He's stroking my cat with his big hand, but his eyes don't leave me, not for a second as he talks.
Then I went to our house on Carmel, just to be alone for a while.
Things get so hectic. I know, I say. When he speaks again, his voice is warm.
I was supposed to concentrate on the campaign, and I kept thinking of you. His smile is as intimate as a kiss. You can imagine my disappointment when I came back to D.C. to find you gone.
It's for the best, you know it.
His smile suddenly gains a spark of eroticism. Actually, I don't.
Matt, Gordon and Jacobs are after anything they can get on you.
And trust me when I say I won't let it be you.
I exhale, then hug my arms around myself.
Why did you leave?
He asks. I try to keep my voice level. I thought it was for the best.
Never. That's the last thing I wanted when this began.
His eyes keep holding mine, a muscle working in the back of his jaw.
I don't want you gone. If anything, I want you closer to me.
I flush harder and try to push any talk about the connection between us aside. The polls, Matt.
2 points lost are 2 points I can gain back. We're gaining them back. You'll pile up my schedule even if I don't sleep.
I laugh, but he doesn't. He leans forward, his thighs stretching the material of his jeans and his shoulders the cotton of his sweater.
Come back to the campaign.
Charlotte?
I hear Jessa say as she brings a tea tray from the kitchen.
Your mother wanted me to bring this.
She sends a beaming look in Matt's direction, flushed as if she were 19 instead of 63. Thanks, Jessa.
Thank you, Matt says warmly, reaching out for a cup and taking a sip.
She seems to flush even more as she heads back to the kitchen. My mother will be worried about a scandal. You need to go, Matt. I stand and tug at his hand, forcing him to release the cup, set it down, and he catches my fingers as he comes to his full height.
Can I count on you?
His nearness suddenly engulfs me. Every atom of my body is awake and buzzing with the heat of his so close, the feel of his eyes on my face, expectant, warm as the sun and just as bright. Always, I croak. His hand and mine are linked and burning. He smiles at me, a dazzling smile, and squeezes my fingers, looking down at me with the most adorable expression on his face.
Thank you.
He releases me and pets my cat one last time before he walks to the door, and I walk with him. Thank you for coming. I'll bring my things back tomorrow, I say.
Tomorrow is the gala,
he begins, and I cut him off. I'll be there too, I assure him, pushing him out the door before he can kiss me. Even a kiss to the cheek would devastate me, and I'm afraid of yielding to the impulse to do more. He's smiling, amused as he watches me slam the door shut. I close my eyes and inhale, hating that I know the same thing I knew then, that he can never really be mine. But to quote him back, that hasn't stopped me from wanting him. 34. Gala. Charlotte. Tonight's gala seems to be the grandest and busiest of all the galas we've held. We're at the Grand Ballroom of the Jefferson Hotel. The White House is so close you can practically feel its power churning and surging surrounding you. I glanced at its white columns as I arrived, and not for the first time I wondered what Matt's life was like there, if there was any normalcy at all. The ballroom is glittering tonight. Everyone who is anyone is attending, from huge industrialists to prominent artists, musicians, doctors, and teachers. And yet my attention is focused on spotting only one person. The one. I'm in a white dress, and my eyes drink in the luxurious decorations surrounding me in my search of the one thing I most want to see. The figure of the man that has my heart pounding like this.
Charlotte.
Allison launches herself and hugs me.
A vision in white, I approve, she happily says,
then leans back and lifts her camera. Click.
Allison, come on, I groan,
and she tugs me into the crowd, where I say hello to my team colleagues. No one even hints at noticing or knowing that I'd left, and I'm sure it's due to Carlisle's expert hand at damage control. I keep searching for Matt across the room with a pounding in my heart and a knot of nervous anticipation in my stomach. It feels like forever until my eyes snag on the tall, dark figure of a man. And they stay there, absorbing everything that is Matt Hamilton. Dressed in a pitch-black suit and black tie, his hands, long-fingered and tan, keep shaking those of the people who walk to greet him. The outlines of his shoulders strain against his suit jacket. He stands among the crowd, wickedly handsome, his face animated as he speaks to them about something he's clearly impassioned about.
Our country. I know. And then his eyes lift and he spots me across a sea of heads. The touches of humor around his mouth and eyes fade as our eyes lock. The intensity of his gaze hits me like a punch. His stare is so galvanizing, it sends a tremor through me. The harder I try to hide the way I feel about him, the harder it hits me. I glance away. Anywhere, really. That's when my eyes fall on a couple wading into the ballroom. My parents. My eyes widen in surprise. My mother spots me and gives a light, queen-like wave in my direction. My father's eyes are on something, someone else. I'm so surprised my father agreed to attend, it takes me a few blinks to make sure he's really here. Being a Democratic senator, it's a huge testament to his support of Matt. Huge. As I approach to greet them, I see Matt do the same. His walk is all confidence and vitality. Senator Wells, he says as he greets my father. His handshake is firm and swift, full of grace and virility. God, his voice. How can you even miss someone's voice? A warmth fills my stomach when I see the genuine respect in both men's eyes as they greet each other. I thought perhaps my dad being here meant he was supporting me as I venture into the world of politics, where my parents had always wanted to see me. But as I watch them, I know my dad is not only supporting me, he wants Matt to win. To realize my father finally supports Matt, to know that Matt, his campaign, his touch with the people, has won him over like his own father did all those years ago, makes my admiration and awe of Matt grow. I'm dying to talk to him, but it's impossible with him being the center of attention, the center of everything. I step in to greet my parents as well, and I feel Matt's eyes on me as I do. For some reason, he shifts his stance to stand closer to me as he's greeted by the mayor of D.C. and his wife, and instinctively, I remain where I am and let him introduce me, too. Conversation swirls around us, and all this time, I'm only aware of the low, dull throb inside me. Matt stands casually beside me, an almost imperceptible tension emanating from his body. He takes advantage the moment he's free from the attention of others to look at me. That's quite a dress. The room blurs around me as I lose myself in those espresso eyes. I want to flat out go up on my toes and kiss him, do what a girl does with a guy she loves, tell him I missed him, want him, thought of him. I want to put his hand on my body. That's all I want. Just his hand on my body, even if it's just a light touch. He reaches out to press his fingers into the small of my back to guide me away from someone who wants to pass. The move puts us in view of a group of chatting men, and one of them calls out happily, "Matt!" and walks over immediately. "Ah, yes, Congressman Sanders." He greets the man who approaches with a firm shake of his hand. They start chatting, and in between exchanges, he glances at me for 3 seconds. I meet his gaze, and I'm aware of the excited nerves going through me. I go up on my toes and say, "I want my pin back," before brushing past him to say hello to someone else. When I look at him minutes later, he's smiling at something someone says as our eyes meet. His smile falters for a minute as heat steals into his eyes, but he manages to keep it in place, even as he looks at me. The look in his eyes tells me exactly what he wants to do to me, how he wants me. Every female part in me feels it, knows it. Matt will be fucking me senseless tonight. 35. Secret Meeting. Charlotte. Wilson drives me to a home in Washington, D.C. He pulls over in front of a beautiful 2-story brownstone, and because the Hamiltons' empire consists of a vast $1 billion real estate corporation, I assume it belongs to Matt. I walk up the steps as Wilson opens the door and lets me in.
"He's upstairs," Wilson says.
I follow the stairs and head toward the streak of light coming out of an open door. Across from the door, Matt looks out the window. Black pants cover his long legs, topped by a shiny black belt and a white button-down shirt with the top buttons undone. And he holds a glass of wine in his hand. He turns when he senses me, how could he not, and slowly sets the glass aside with a clink. I shut the door behind me and I'm lost in the swirl of bronze in his eyes. It's like I'm in a subspace. No thoughts or reason, only need, just heat and desire. And him. Shadows dance across the room, playing with the candlelight. Matt clenches his jaw as he looks at me, His eyes glow like fire in the night, and he starts walking toward me with such single-minded purpose that I do the same. Tomorrow, this never happened, I say urgently. He catches me by the ass and lifts me, my legs curling around him as our lips smash together. A part of me wants Matt to tell me that it could work between us, that though I'm a normal girl and he's a man in extraordinary circumstances, we could work it out. But he's not a man you get to keep. So at the same time, I want his assurance. I know it's impossible. I know this is all we've got, the few moments I'll have alone with him when he's just Matt, the man I've fallen in love with. You don't get to quit me, he says, those dark eyes of his intensifying. You don't get to walk away from me. Next time you do, all you'll have to do is look behind you to find me at your heels. He lowers his head again, opens my lips with his, and our tongues collide. You can't have it all, Matt. I breathe into his mouth. I'm kissing him wildly now, without restraint, biting his lips a little as I fist his hair. His eyes are heavy-lidded as he peels free and starts unbuttoning his shirt. He looks hot as heat itself, his lips red from me. My heart lurches as he spreads open his shirt. I see an expanse of tanned, smooth skin and muscles. He shrugs off his shirt, his shoulders and biceps flexing with the move. I'm fumbling as I quickly unzip my dress. I shrug it off and let it whisk down my legs. He pulls off his belt and sends it away with a clatter, and before he can remove his slacks, I'm back on him, and we're kissing. We're kissing without restraint, wild, our hands and mouths all over each other. He groans between his wild, fierce kisses. I can't even find the words to describe how perfect you are. He holds my face and kisses me, and I hold his jaw and kiss him back, then push him away and ease toward the bed. He follows me. I've missed those blue eyes. I even miss the way you scrunch your nose at me. I scrunch my nose. His eyes laugh silently, and I laugh out loud, but we go sober. I've missed his eyes, too. My calves hit the bed, and he reaches for me, his hand curling around my waist as I grab his shoulder to brace myself. His chest jerks with a breath, as if my touch singed him. He's smiling as he pulls me flush to him. My torso touches his, and fire streaks through my veins. A tremor runs through my nerve endings as his fingers spread on my back. Plastered against his chest, my nipples have turned hard as rubies. I want him to take my bra off and bear them to him. I want him to take them in his mouth and taste them. I want him so much I burn for him in my veins and my heart and between my legs. He slips his fingers into my hair and exerts just the right amount of pressure to tug my head a little closer, even as he leans his head to mine. A muscle ticks in the back of his jaw as he presses his lips to my cheek, dragging them down my jaw, my neck. His breath is warm on my skin as he whispers, "Perfection." Before I know it, he's worked off my panties and is pulling off my bra. Shivering when the air brushes over my skin, I lean back on the bed, naked, letting him look at me while I look at him. His body could be in a centerfold, and yet it's real. It's here, and it's all for me. One last time. He's over me the next instant, hungry, so hungry. He suckles my nipple and draws my legs apart with his hand, caressing the inside of my thighs as he heads upward. I've never wanted to devour another human being the way I want to devour him. I kiss his jaw and rock my hips to coax him to touch me. He complies, first stroking his finger along the folds of my sex. I can hear a wet, slick sound as his index finger trails up and down, up and down. Then he eases the tip inside me.
God. Matt.
Say it again. Say it again just like that, he says, kissing his way to my other breast and taking the nipple, sucking, licking, laving, tasting. My voice cracks.
Matt.
He grabs my hair and keeps me in place as he drags his mouth lower, his shoulders flexing, the candlelight making love to his muscular chest as he starts kissing me between my legs. He runs his tongue along my folds, and I groan, his tongue dipping inside of me. I move urgently beneath him as he works my body into a frenzy, works me into a frenzy. The pads of his thumbs stroke over the tips of my breasts, caressing my nipples. I groan deep in my throat again. He curses low in his throat, eases back, and strips the rest of his clothes off fast, never taking his eyes off me. God, his cock is so thick and long, so huge. He crawls over me and I'm panting, our eyes holding. His fingers curl around my hip, holding me still. And then, with a slow but powerful rock of his hips, Matt thrusts inside me. I nearly come when he drives all the way in, every inch of his cock caressing every inch of my channel. I gasp, clutching my limbs around his body as my sex clings to every inch of him. We're not speaking, leaving unspoken the fact that we are stealing, flat out stealing, this moment, and we both seem to want to savor it with our every sensation. Sight, sounds, touch, taste, scent. I move with him as he drives forward purposefully. I'm writhing and twisting, kissing and touching him as much as possible, even as Matt kisses and touches me. Exquisitely does what any living, breathing, red-blooded man would do with a girl like me. My eyes hold his, cling to his, widening as I take him inside me, long, hard, pulsing with life. He won't take his eyes off me. They're heavy, and so male, and looking at me as if I'm some living Mona Lisa, a breathing Statue of Liberty. There's not enough air in the world to fill my lungs right now. He's breathing just as hard. He rocks his hips and keeps entering, watching me. My body contracts with aching need, and every time I feel him rock, so hard, so big, so close, I get wetter and wetter, absorbing everything. The soft sucking motions of his mouth on my nipples arrow down to my sex, which keeps squeezing around him. I run my fingers up his chest and let my own mouth wander, tasting, tasting, tasting. He's warm, sweaty, and salty. He groans and thrusts back inside, pulling my head back, watching my neck arch, and he tells me to keep making those sounds, that they're driving him crazy. I'm the one who's losing my mind now. I'm loving the way he groans, looks at me, feels, tastes as we move without control. He drives into me again, deep and hard, his hands holding me by the hips, our hips rocking, our bodies arching, and our mouths twisting around each other. Are you with me? Charlotte, are you with me? I answer him with a whisper, just, yes, as my body thrashes in orgasm. He presses a kiss to my earlobe, tensing his body as he comes as well. We're breathing hard as we turn on our sides, facing each other. He props himself on one arm. I don't have the energy to do that. But in our eyes, we're both communicating. Matt? Hey. He takes my chin, sober now. Don't think about it. We're being careful. I close my eyes. Rolling to his back, he exhales and stares at the ceiling. When this whole campaign started, I had no idea. He looks at me. No idea about you, see?
See? Do you want me to call you M?
No, but I look forward to having a major hard-on the day you call me Mr. President. He rolls back to his side and touches between my legs, and I really can't complain anymore.
God, Matt.
I'm a man. I'm flesh and blood. And I want you. Have you been sent here to torture me? Sent by Jacobs or Gordon to ruin me?
You're the one who's got it in his head to be torturing me, making me travel with you, always so close to you. What do you think it does to me? It makes my job difficult.
But it's not just about me, Charlotte. He glances at the window. That, from the moment I decided this is what I want to do above all else, it's not just about me.
He cups my face, some silent torture in his eyes, even as he moves his finger inside me. I know.
I swallow, and my cheek burns under his warm palm as my hips rock involuntarily.
So take your hand away. The more I stay here, the more dangerous it becomes.
He moves his other hand to the back of my neck, whispering as he rubs his thumb over my clit. I will. After you kiss me. Tonight is about you.
I close my eyes, raising my head. His breath bathes my lips. You make me want to be the best version of myself I can ever be.
He licks my lips.
I kiss his mouth. I kiss his mouth and then roll him over and drag myself down his length. Lower and lower.
Kissing a path down the line of silky, dark hair that travels down his chest, the smooth skin above his navel, and then down to the thickening mat of hair that leads to his cock. I take him in my hands. Full, thick, the crown of his cock swollen to the max and dripping with desire for me. I lick the drop. Matt is watching me, a predatory look in his eyes as he cups the back of my head and tugs me closer, closer to his cock, until I grip the base with my hands and take him into my mouth. 36. Morning. Charlotte. I slip into a comfortable gray sweatshirt that belongs to Matt as we have coffee very early the next morning. I'm curled up on the couch while Matt stands by the window, one hand holding his coffee as he stares thoughtfully outside. He wears only pants, and I can see a streak of nail marks down the back of muscled arms. Did I do that? Are we still set to leave for the last campaign stretch on Monday? I hear myself ask. He turns to me then, his expression thoughtful. All set. He pauses, his voice gruffer. Do you realize how difficult it is to give the last of the campaign my all when I know that if I win, I lose you?
You'd run again. If you lost.
He clenches his jaw. I quickly blink back the tears and strengthen my voice. Matt, I was on the sidelines for months, looking at 1,001 strangers, and I realize we all have something in common. You. You're like a part of this country's history. You represent a painful moment and the strength to go on and thrive. You inspire people just by being who you are. Matt. I walk over to him and he sets his coffee mug aside. He takes my hand and lifts it to his lips, kissing my fingertips. In so many ways, I ran for you.
What?
I laugh incredulously. Thinking you and people like you are out there, deserving more.
Then give us more.
His gaze slides to the window, face etched with thought. How much more is enough? How many monsters will need to be slayed? How many dissident voices will need to be quieted?
I don't know, but you'll figure it out along the way.
Matt clenches his jaw and lowers our hands, squeezing my fingers. Matt, if anyone is worthy of anything, it's you. If anyone is worthy of leading our country, it's you. Who do you want it to be? Thompson? Jacobs?
God, no. Fuck, no.
He turns to me and I meet his gaze head on, knowing this is goodbye. Knowing this is the last morning I let myself wake with him, and seeing in his eyes that he knows it too, even if he doesn't like it. I inhale shakily.
You're 2 points away from the lead. Go out there and get it, Matt, because you know what? I won't be helping you next year.
I scowl then and push at his chest as if he'd bullied me into saying it. He laughs then, grabbing my wrist and drawing me against the flat planes of his chest as he looks at me.
What'll you be doing then?
Next year. He watches his hand as he strokes his fingertips along my cheek, making me breathless. I swallow.
In a year? I'll be living the American dream, because you'll be my president.
He clenches his jaw and whispers,
Come here.
Wrapping both his arms tightly around me as he lowers his head.
You cannot kiss me again, not anymore, I half-heartedly protest.
But as I speak, I go up on tiptoes and let him kiss me. Slow, a goodbye kiss. I tremble when I think of it being the last time I feel his lips on mine.
Are you crying?
His voice is a murmur. I blink back the tears proudly, but he's faster than I am and wipes them away.
Charlotte.
His voice seems both surprised and protective. His eyes darken as he looks at me and he strokes a hand down the back of my head.
Fuck me, this isn't goodbye. I could lose. I could fucking lose.
No.
I take a step back, putting some distance between us.
Matt, I want you to win this presidency.
Determination flashes across his features. He fists his fingers into his palms, then growls,
And I want to win this presidency, Charlotte.
I nod then, in this moment, both of us coming to an understanding. We both worked each other out of our systems for the last time. It's over with. Done with. So I step into his embrace and we just hug, knowing this is goodbye. Not a goodbye as in me leaving the campaign again, but goodbye to what could have been. Politics aren't simple. They are messy. There is always deceit and something lurking underneath. This time it is the fact that I love him. And I think he might have, in another time or place, come to love me. But you cannot do two things at once. My mother says, sadly, that she doesn't think there has ever been a truly happy First Lady in the White House or a president capable of making one happy. He holds the most powerful office in the land, but it's so consuming. Love has no place in the White House. Almost in a brotherly way, in the same way he kissed me when I was 11, Matt kisses my cheek. He wraps his arms around me and I inhale him, closing my eyes, curling my hands around him, forcing my tears back because though a part of me wants to keep him, I want him to win, too. There's no time for this. We've got an election to win. Everywhere we go, everyone seems to be watching Matt, and whether he looks at me, smiles at me, or so much as stands close to me. Carlisle has been sending me looks, warning stares to avoid giving Gordon and Jacobs fodder. Still, Hewitt, as press manager, is playing the card of childhood friends, and Matt is so stubborn and secretly mad for giving the public such access to his private affairs. He has been blatantly using the press manager's expert handling of the situation to keep me close and keep looking at me as much as he pleases, which in turn both pleases and distresses me. We travel to Des Moines, Iowa, Manchester, New Hampshire, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Charleston, South Carolina, and one afternoon we even go visit a tree called the President. We stand before it, close to the wood sign that identifies it in the middle of the giant forest of Sequoia National Park in California. The tree is over 3,000 years old, and the most amusing thing is the smaller sequoia trees surrounding it are called the Congress Group, two dense stands of medium-sized sequoias that represent the House and Senate. If you win and your ego starts getting too big, one trip here and it'll be squashed back down. I've never felt so tiny next to a tree. I look up its tall, gnarly trunk to the top, where its leaves rustle in the breeze. Standing here, I marvel at how many people I've met and all the landscapes I've seen. I've been taken out of my D.C. bubble to see the colorful quilt that makes up our country. It's incredible, touring all the states, each unique in its own right, each having its own growth spurts and challenges. You don't know America until you step back and really look at it. It makes me want to see more of the world, to travel, do everything, see everything, be touched by everything, and touch it back in return. It helps me remind myself the reason I'm staying away from Matt, even when Matt still effortlessly carves time to spend moments alone with me. 37. Back in D.C. Charlotte. We arrive in D.C. early the next day. My machine is flooded with phone calls. My mother would love for me to spend the night home. Kayla, Allen, and Sam want to see me. I look around my apartment, then scroll through my phone contacts. After denying it all, after everything, one night. Tomorrow we vote. And that's that. But I cannot leave it at that. I would like to tell him that I love him, but this is not something you do to someone when you know he may have such a hard, demanding path ahead. This is something you might do if he didn't, if the public chose someone else, and maybe then he's free to choose me. But I don't want to imagine anyone not choosing him, denying what he has to give. I also am human, and no matter how much I want to make a difference, I want things for me, too. Those things have narrowed down until all I am aware of wanting, every second of the day, is him, in any way I can have him, even if it's just a tiny piece. Tonight, I could have him whole, all of him, and I want him. I want to hold nothing back except the words. But I can tell him with every kiss that I cannot help the way I tremble. The way being touched by him makes me feel like the only thing in the world for me is him in those moments. I sit down and think of him, and before I can think better of it, I text him and ask if I can see him. I don't know what it is I want, but I know I cannot go to his house, nor could Matt come here. He's too closely watched, and I'll be too tempted, and it won't be fair. It needs to stop at that last night we shared, but I'm no longer going to be his campaign scheduler. After tomorrow, I'm not sure where to go from here. And if I'll ever see him again. We meet at the Abraham Lincoln Memorial. We sit by the steps, gazing out at D.C. as the wind whips through my hair and stings my cheeks.
You could really win tomorrow, I whisper.
I know.
I want you to.
Do you? He studies my features. Silence. I shiver.
What's done is done. What isn't done, I guess.
I shrug.
We did all we could, didn't we?
That's right. Before I know it, he shrugs out of his jacket and drapes it over my shoulders. Charlotte, he says softly, we wouldn't be here without you.
Yes, we would, I assure him.
We wait for a young couple to walk past us. Then he inches his hand close to mine on the steps, under the fall of his jacket, and drags his thumb over the back of mine. If I lose, I want you to go out on an official date with me.
I drop my head and suddenly feel more emotional than I've ever been.
A whole year of campaigning both for him and against my feelings for him hitting me hard.
I don't want him to lose, but I hate yearning for it just for this second. That's really unfair.
My voice cracks. My face is suddenly wet. I don't know why I'm crying. I just am.
The chances of you losing are this big, I say with my fingers.
I'm sniffling now, and I stand and tuck his jacket closer around my shoulders so I can hide my face inside the collar. He stands too, stepping closer, his voice tender. Show me my chances again, he says. I clutch the jacket closed with one hand and lift the other, making the space between my fingers slim. He takes my fingers in his hands and widens the space between them just a little. I'd say more like this. He smiles down at me, trying to cheer me up, and I love him all the more for it, because the smile doesn't reach his eyes at all.
I love you. I love you and your silly glasses,
I say, widening my fingers as much as I can, and then I add, laughing and crying,
I can't even use my arms to show you.
One second his smile is there. The next it's replaced with a look of fierce emotion. His eyes roil with it. With something I'd never seen in Matt's eyes before. Impotence. I start to leave, ducking my head into the jacket to hide myself from another group of passersby. I hear him start after me before they stop him.
Holy shit, Matt Hamilton, the guy says. I mean, sir, it's a pleasure, a real pleasure.
I hear Matt greet them, but I can feel his eyes on me as I slip my arms into the sleeves of his jacket and use it as a shield against the cold and leave. I take the train to my apartment. The first thing I do when I arrive is splash cold water onto my face. I'm drying it when I hear a knock. Dropping the towel, I open the door, and Matt stands on the other side. His hands are at his side, his eyes a little wild. I gasp.
Matt!
I glance around the hall, relieved to find it empty.
What are you doing here? My neighbor could see you.
One second, Matt is on the other side of the door. The next, he's shutting it behind him, and the back of my head is in his hands, and his lips come crashing down on mine. 38. Election Day. Charlotte. The next morning, I wake up alone in bed. Across the floor, only a few feet from the bed and next to my clothes, is Matt's jacket. His jacket. Election Day. I leap to my feet and turn on the TV as I hurry to change. 30 minutes later, I'm in line at my polling place. I watch the line of voters and wonder who each is voting for. Had voting ever been this exciting? There's a charged anticipation in the air. Or maybe it's just me, my fingers itching when I finally slide behind the privacy curtain and stare at the voting sheet. For one second, my chest hurts. I know what I'm losing. I know what I'm choosing. But the urge to see him win overcomes my own selfishness, and I mark an X next to his name. I stare at the ballot for a moment. I missed voting for the last president when I was stuck home with the flu. It's the first time in my life I actually vote, and the 11-year-old who promised to help him if he ever ran for president can hardly believe that today I'm standing here and voting for him. I feel an odd sense of loss as I exit, and yet distract myself as I try to make sure no one is following me when I take the train, then walk a few blocks to the Jefferson Hotel. Detouring to the lobby restroom for a moment, I pull out my makeup kit. I carry only lipstick, blush, and mascara, but I dab a little of each on my face. I didn't need to add blush. A red tint stains my cheeks, and my eyes look a little rounder, very dark and very shiny. Oh, God. It's almost as if I'm afraid to go upstairs, walk into the room, and have everyone see right through me. Exhaling for courage, I step out, take the elevators, and head to Matt's suite. The last time we were in D.C., we hosted a fundraiser at the ballroom of this hotel. A lifetime ago, and at the same time, only yesterday. A knock on the door, and when Allison opens it, my eyes fix on a tall, large figure standing by the window across the room with his hands in his pockets. He's the one farthest from the door, and there are dozens of people between us. But it doesn't matter. Space doesn't matter. He sees me. I see him. His gaze looks very male as our eyes lock. It's as dark as it was last night, and it makes my stomach constrict painfully. Warmth spreads all over me as I step inside. Will he be able to tell that he flusters me? Of course he will. I greet everybody as I walk into the suite, leaving him until last. Matt. I smile at him, excited the day has finally come. Charlotte. He returns my smile, but the way he says my name sounds gruff. He doesn't look frazzled like the rest of us. He looks like he just left the spa and wellness center on one of the lower floors. God, I envy his ability to keep his cool. But 1 year is enough time to get to know somebody, and I know that hungry shadow in his dark eyes too well, and I know that his mind is working full speed. Maybe speculating on the exit polls as we hear the newscasters in the background, as the seconds tick by and the minutes turn to hours into what feels like the longest day of the year. As I sit on one of the couches next to Allison and Mark and alternate between watching Carlisle smoke and glancing at the TV, I am acutely aware of Matt and where he sits and breathes, and every inch that he physically occupies in this room. Out of the corner of my eye, I see him lift his eyes and smile a satisfied smile, and it makes me squirm and remember more than that. He's back to reading something. Jack's head on his lap, Matt's hand on top of Jack's furry black head. I remember that hand last night. We locked the world out when he closed the door. I remember him backing me into my bedroom, his hands easing off his jacket, slipping under my shirt, possessive and firm. That's how his touch felt. His kiss. I needed him so much that when he stripped me, I wanted to rush, clawing at him as I stripped him too. But Matt wasn't in a hurry. He kissed me and tenderly shhed me as he laid me down on the bed, and he took me in the moonlight that came in through my window as he caressed me. I melted into a pure, white-hot need as he kissed my mouth, my cheeks, nibbled a line down my throat. His mouth moved around and over the peaks of my breasts, all over my stomach, to the insides of my thighs, and then it spent a long time between them. His tongue drove inside me with slow, deep flicks that seemed to be what he needed to quench his thirst. His hands held my thighs open as I convulsively tried to close them shut, the feelings too intense. Hot and firm, he used his lips and suctioned with just the right amount of pressure to unravel me. I unraveled. I felt like I was cut from one string into a thousand. I came against his mouth with his hair between my fingers, but even then he seemed hungry. His eyes, as he came up, glowed dark brown as he stroked his fingers down my face and captured my mouth in a crushing kiss that curled my toes. I remember that hunger, how it built and built and didn't diminish, not after an hour naked under the sheets with him, nor even after another hour. And I remember the sound I made after he made me orgasm with his fingers, and then, finally, slipped his hands into the nook at the small of my back and clenched my bottom as he drove inside me. I groaned his name, and I remember the way he smiled against my mouth, a smile of relief, and then moved, groaning my name, telling me I'm classic, so classic. I remember how we did that, all night. Him whispering things so gruffly I didn't understand what he said. Only heard the hunger and tenderness in his voice and the rake of his teeth on my skin as we got rougher, more desperate, our breaths faster. I remember it all, today of all days, and I feel my cheeks start to burn bright red as I try to push it all out of my mind. Amazing how I can forget sometimes what I dreamt, my apartment keys, my cell phone, but not a single detail about him. Things from the past come to the surface. Holding his jacket for him, accidentally sipping from his coffee cup, spilling my folders at his feet and him kneeling down to help me. I lift my gaze to find him reading the daily copy of the Washington Post. He's wearing his glasses. When he lifts his gaze and looks at me above the gold rims, his eyes darken and my breasts suddenly feel sensitive under my bra. I lick my lips and they feel extra sensitive after being kissed by him all night. Matt's gaze falls briefly to my lips, and I can't help but drop my gaze to his mouth, which looks full and firm. Suddenly, all I want is to feel it again, firm and hungry, his tongue ravenous against mine. I don't know how I'm going to do it, how it will be possible to fall out of love with him. But that's what I need to do, because this was only temporary, because that date he proposed won't be happening. I need to forget him, and I need to put as much of an effort into the task as I did into his campaign. Still, he's staring at me across the table with those dark eyes that look both warm and tender. With a jolt, I remember his jacket strewn across the floor of my apartment, along with my lingerie. The thought of someone seeing that I have it in my possession makes me worry, and my eyes widen and I leap to my feet. Matt frowns and pulls off his glasses, standing instinctively as if to help me.
I forgot I have something for you, I say.
I can see he doesn't like the idea of me leaving this suite, but I don't give him time to stop me as I hurry to the door.
Stay away from the pops, and if they question you, you know the drill,
Carlyle says behind me. No comment, I assure him as I swing open the door. My eyes meet Matt's, and I feel that familiar skip of my heartbeat. I close the door behind me, the nerves about today's results multiplying by the second. I keep my head down to avoid any paparazzi, which I thankfully manage to do as I head to my apartment to get Matt's jacket. Once I reach my building, I hurry inside and spot it in the same place I left it. My heart does that flip again. I walk toward it slowly, almost as if I expect it to bite me like a cobra. But that's not really why suddenly time seems to slow down. It's because I suddenly don't want to take it back. I want to slip his jacket around me one more time. I want to wear it and hug myself and pretend that my arms are his arms. I want to tuck my face back into its collar and breathe in his scent. The urge to do this is so enormous. I stifle the impulse with a lot of effort, calling back my professional side, the side that knows last night was not just unplanned, but a mistake. So I take the jacket in my hands and fold it neatly into a department store shopping bag. Then I head back to the Jefferson Hotel, determined to be professional and to put last night behind me as our farewell.
39. Your name is Charlotte. Matthew. There's a calm I didn't expect as we wait for the popular vote results to come in. Charlotte brought me my jacket a while ago. Hell, I didn't want it. I wanted a piece of me with her. I can't shake her off, and when it comes to her, I'm selfish enough that I don't want her to shake me off either. Her concern for others keeps mystifying me. She's been more concerned about a scandal than I have all this time. More concerned with making sure that the man the country sees is the one she makes me want to be. She's in my veins, this girl. Nobody would guess that I sit, watching and waiting, lifting my eyes to find her watching the screen, twirling her hair on one finger, biting her lips, sometimes looking back at me. Nobody would guess how much I want every inch and piece and breath of hers. The suite is flooded with the most integral members of my team. Carlyle, of course, as well as our chief strategist, our communications director, and some field operatives. There's a buzz in the air. Carlyle, chain-smoking, oozing tension. And here I am, calmer than expected, my mind divided in two equal parts, one wondering about each vote, each state, each poll result, the other fixed on the woman across the room who was in my arms only hours ago. A part of me wants to draw her aside and say something that will appease us both, but even I know there are no such words. I'm running for the most powerful office in the land. Ironic that I can't promise something as simple as my love to her. My mind drifts as I imagine what I'd do if Jacobs or Gordon beat me in this election. I picture heading to the Senate, working my way back to the race, dividing my attention between work and the woman I'm obsessed with. But when I'm back in the race again, what then? Both my mother and I lost my father the day he became president. I don't want Charlotte to lose me. I don't want to lose the spark in her eyes whenever she looks at me, full of admiration and respect and desire. The spark that inevitably dies when you keep hurting those who love you, even if unintentionally. It can't work, I tell myself. You've known it and you still couldn't keep away. You still want to hold this girl and never let her go, even as that's exactly what you prepare to do with every piece of news filtering into the room. It streams on the TV and on live podcasts some of my team members are playing on their phones. Matthew Hamilton's win requires every young voter out there, every minority, every woman to come out and vote. And the turnout has been unprecedented today. Early returns have been astounding. Hamilton leading in Texas, Alabama, New York. People want change and they want it now. They're saying you've got Ohio, Carlisle says. Yeah? I lift my eyebrow, a kick of restlessness settling in my gut. One I can't run out of my system right now. I scan the room for Jack and whistle him over. He leaps on the couch and sets his head on my lap. I stroke his head absently as Carlisle skims through the channels, remote in one hand, cigarette in the other. He stops on one. That's right, Roger. The Hamilton campaign pulled off an impressive feat this year, until, well, that incident where Hamilton failed to appear and give comments on the rumors. The anchor is saying, and I grab the remote and shut off the TV, glancing at Charlotte in silence. It bothers me to have the media speculate about her, and today I have no patience for it. Her crystal blue eyes look at me, and pink crawls up her sweet cheeks. There'll be no kissing the pink away from those cheeks. And suddenly the feeling of impotence bothers me too. The room falls silent as I toss the remote aside. Carlisle lights up another cigarette by the window, and I soon leave Jack on the couch and join him. I can almost hear the clock ticking in my head when Mark barges inside. Tick-tock, tick-tock. Turnout was unprecedented, Mark begins. She looks at me hopelessly for 1 second, and my eyes meet hers, the excitement in Mark's voice crackling in the room. You've won enough states to secure the Electoral College vote. A chorus of gasps and exclamations followed the declaration. Holy crap! Oh my God! Fuck, I knew it! This last remark from Carlisle. The second it takes my mind to process what I heard, I'm with my father. He's standing in this room wearing that proud grin he used to when he talked about me, and he's telling Charlotte, he's going to be president one day. My eyes seem to have a will of their own as they slide unerringly to lock on Charlotte. She's looking down at her lap, with a smile on her lips and a single tear on one cheek, as she stands to face me. It seems to take her a moment to fully realize what she heard, too. She's the sexiest thing I've ever seen as she wipes the tear away, leaps like a girl, and clasps her hands together. Her pulse flutters, and my mouth wants to be right on hers. I want my hands on her. I want myself in her. She keeps a distance and allows the others to come and congratulate me first. Hugs and cheer and claps. Carlisle booting up the TV for even more confirmation, and I look at the screen, strongly resolved to take care of what I've been given. America is mine. I'm being engulfed by Carlisle, hand shaking, everyone congratulating. Matt, now's the time for champagne. Someone is bringing back the bottle I made them remove earlier. Charlotte hangs back, and it isn't until everyone in the room has had their say that she steps forward, her voice betraying nothing. You're this close to being president, Matt, she says, showing me with her little fingers. I smile and think to myself, not as close as I was to telling you I loved you back. She's the last to hug me, and when I pull her small frame into my arms, she pulls back hastily. Charlotte making sure I hugged her for the same length of time I hugged each of the others. It's not enough. I hug her with my damn eyes as she lets go. She gathers her things and tucks a glorious strand of red hair behind her ear, and then walks away. I've never been so aware of the price I paid for my victory. This concludes Mr. President by Katie Evans. Narrated by Isabel Gordon and John Lane. Copyright 2016 by Katie Evans. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Katie Evans, care of Jane Rotrason Agency, LLC, and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.